Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiyo. Welcome to Kiwi's Birth Tales. My brother's name is Ollie and I'm Guy Boy. Thank you for listening from Mommy's podcast. See you later.
Kia ora and welcome back to the Kiwi Birth Tales podcast. I am your host, Jordan. If you are new around here, I'm a mum of two. I've got Jai who's four and Ali who is two. I also have a business baby, Your Birth Project. If you're pregnant or you know someone who is, make sure you send them the link to Your Birth Project. It's going to help you to create your best birth. It is a hypnobirthing course. It is online. Don't let the word hypnobirthing turn you off. It is absolutely going to help you to create your best birth no matter what kind of birth you're having. It is inclusive of all birth types and you can use it in pregnancy and postpartum too. So make sure you go and check out the course. You'll hear Cass talk a little bit about it in her episode today because she is actually a Your Birth Project mum and she used the course to her advantage in her beautiful birth story, which wasn't exactly as she planned, and she talks us through why that was and how she sort of got her mindset in the right place for whatever was to come. So I hope you're going to love this episode. I would absolutely love to hear from you if you want to find me at Kiwi Birth Tales or at Your Birth Project on Instagram. I'll also tag Cass in the show notes so that you can find her because I know you're going to love her after this episode. As always, I am so grateful that you have chosen to have me in your ears today. And if you're tuning in as a regular listener, then welcome back. If you're new, thank you so much for choosing to listen to Kiwi Birth Tales today. I hope you love the episode. And yeah, make sure you let me know what you think in the comments. I'll let you enjoy the episode with Cass now and we'll talk soon.
Hey Cass, thanks so much for joining me on the Kiwi Birth Tales podcast today.
No worries, thank you so much for having me.
No problem. Would you like to tell our listeners a little bit about you and who is in your family?
Yeah, so my name is Cassie Skelton. I post on social media about mental health. I talk mainly about my own mental health and like how I manage that and just see if people can relate kind of thing. I do that because I studied counselling and I also volunteered at Youth Line. So I understand like how to manage your mental health. And I think the education of actually like managing it isn't massively talked about. We talk a lot about mental health being something that we should talk about, but then everybody's like, what are we meant to be talking about? So,
like, yeah.
Trying to add a little bit more education and resources into the space by kind of openly speaking about my own experiences. And in my family, we have me and my fiance, Nick, and then we just welcomed our first little baby in together.
Yeah, amazing. I cannot wait to hear all about it because I've been following you on social media for ages. So yeah, really looking forward to getting into your story. But why don't we start with the journey to pregnancy for you and Nick?
Perfect. Well, we've known each other for like 5 years. We met on a rooftop bar in Wellington, like the night before homegrown. Random ad, like 2018. Yeah. And I really liked him then, but we were just real like in completely different spaces. Like I was 22 and he was 26. And I feel like that age gap feels massive when you're 22.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
But then like now 27 and 31 was when we actually got together. And then it doesn't feel like a big age gap at all. But yeah, we reconnected at the big end of 2022 and then started dating and then decided we wanted to get pregnant straight away because we decide we're both like very driven, know what we want people, and we're both like we want to be parents, so that was exciting. Yeah. We started trying in February and got pregnant in February, so very quick.
Yeah,
which was exciting for both of us. Yeah, so then we were just pregnant, which was super fun.
Did you do anything special to tell Nick or did you take the test when he was there?
I had felt like I was pregnant for weeks and I'd taken like two tests already. And then my period ended up being like 4 days late. And then I was like, no, I have to be pregnant. Like, this is so weird. So then I took the tests and I was at home with Nick and he was on the phone to his mum. So I like didn't want to see him like when he was on the phone to his mum. So I like snuck from the bathroom into the lounge and then I told him and he was like, what? Are you serious? And then I realized that I had actually been pregnant every time I had taken the test, but I didn't read it right. I like watched Juno when I was little, and I thought it had to be like a cross, but it did have to just be two lines. So I'd been pregnant, I think I was like 7 weeks pregnant.
Oh my god,
which was so funny.
Yeah, I love that. I love it. And how did Nick react?
He was so happy. He like cried. Like he's such a little. He's so emotional, and I love it. He's so sweet. He's just so excited. And yeah, I think we're both like super excited, and we felt so blessed that obviously it was so quick, but also it's like surprising when it happens that quickly, because you have no idea when you start trying, like could this be a year, could this be a month, could we wait 7 weeks and then like there we are, like it's just so random.
Yeah, amazing. And how were you feeling in yourself during your pregnancy? Did you have many pregnancy symptoms in the first trimester?
Yeah, so I felt like it was like after I did the test that I started feeling really nauseous, maybe like a week after finding out that I was pregnant, I started getting quite bad morning sickness. And then it got real bad. Like, I think it didn't stop till like week 13.
Yeah.
And by then I was like, it needs to stop. I need to eat. Because I think that's the hardest thing about it is like not being able to eat. And you feel, obviously, you're pregnant. So you feel like you've got this responsibility to look after your body and like make sure that you're nourishing it right for the baby and everything. And then you just feel so guilty at that first trimester when all you're doing is throwing up. And like so many days, like I couldn't stomach anything other than like a bowl of cereal or something like that.
Yeah, it's crazy, right? How your like body can get nutrients to your baby even when you're like barely eating, or you're eating like white bread and noodles.
Literally, I remember somebody was like, don't worry, your body will literally take everything and give it to the baby, so you're getting nothing, but like actually like it's, they're okay. And I'm like,
yeah,
that's comforting, also concerning.
Yeah, for sure. Awesome. And did you decide to go with a midwife for your care?
Yeah, so I wanted a home birth, just because I don't really like hospitals. So I talked to my friend who had a home birth, and she put me in contact. She called her midwife, who she had, and then her midwife wasn't available for my due date, which was in November. So then her midwife contacted her other midwife friend, and she was available. So, and it was so, like, we were super lucky. The moment Mel, our midwife, came over, she was just like an angel, and me and Nick loved her, and it was so nice and easy.
Yeah, awesome. Very cool. And did you do the standard testing that's offered to you in New Zealand? And did you want to know the sex of your baby?
No, we didn't get any testing done. I missed my 12-week scan, to be honest. I missed so much stuff because I was just like, I don't know, I just preferred to have like less information and like less stuff that I could get stressed over. Like I was like, there's nothing that would really matter that would like change the way I feel about this. I want to go in as blind as possible, kind of thing, because I think my number one priority was like me being calm, so the baby was calm. Like that's kind of was my logic throughout it. So yeah, we didn't get any testing done. We found out his sex at 20 weeks, so that was exciting.
Yeah, awesome. And did you want a boy or a girl, or you were happy for either?
I was super happy for either. I've always like just known I was going to have a boy first. I don't know why that is. Like I'm just like, actually, to be fair, like a couple of my tarot card readers have told me that I have a boy first. So probably that like confirming my suspicion. But I would have been like, me and Nick both said like we both thought he was a boy. So when we like read it and he was a boy, we were like, oh, it would have been a cool surprise if he was a girl. Like just because that we wouldn't have expected it. But we were so happy, obviously.
Yeah, amazing. And how were you feeling throughout that second trimester? Like, did you feel the pregnancy glow that everybody talks about?
I think I struggled a lot in my second trimester, I think probably the most, like, because like in your first trimester, you're sick and you stay at home and you're just like, ugh, you feel physically ill. But then in my second trimester, it was a real mind game. Like, I couldn't fit my clothes, but I couldn't really fit maternity clothes. We were in the middle of winter, so I didn't want to buy new winter clothes, you know. And then like they're so much more expensive. It's not like just buying a nice flowy dress or something like that that can have your bump, and you have to actually be buying stuff that fits. So then I ended up just wearing track pants for like weeks on end, just like wouldn't get out of my track, so which was fine. But I think that all kind of started playing a toll on me, especially like just it being winter in general, like the winter blues plus being pregnant.
Yeah.
And just like figuring it out. I definitely didn't feel the pregnancy glow. I felt that in the third trimester. I think the third trimester was probably my favorite. Because it felt like it was so soon. Like you feel like you can get excited and everything like that.
You're sort of like in the middle in the second trimester. And it's funny because some
Yeah.
people I talk to, they're like, I love it. I was glowing. I felt amazing. But I can so resonate to like, oh my God, like my clothes don't fit, but I don't want to buy like new stuff. And I just feel a bit like average.
Yeah, because it's a real, because you know you're about to like get so much bigger. So there's no point buying like clothes that just fit you in your second trimester. You kind of just tough it out and don't have anything to wear for that section, which I think was like, I feel like it would have been, if, next time I get pregnant, maybe I want to like be in the second trimester in like summer-ish or like coming towards the end of summer because of that I can wear like dresses and stuff. Because I think that was the hardest thing, like not having stuff to wear. And I was like, I just started being like an influencer, so I was going to heaps of PR events, which was like it's already a new experience where I was feeling self-conscious, and then I was like, oh, and I don't fit anything.
For sure. And what about, so you said that you wanted a home birth because you're not a huge fan of hospitals. So what did you do in the way of like birth education? Did you do any antenatal classes or anything that sort of helped get you in the mindset that you needed to be in for birth?
We didn't really do anything. Well, I did the Your Birth project, which I found really helpful. But other than that, I just like talked a lot. Like I feel like I was like real like lean on my village the whole way through. Like I wanted to hear about people's actual experience that I knew, and that would, I think also like when you're talking to somebody that knows you, they're going to cater the way that they're talking to you. Like they're not going to like give you this box experience where they're going to be like, oh yeah, like this was okay and this was like bad, but this wasn't that bad. So I just talked a lot. I like talked to my cousins and stuff like that. I talked to my midwife. I talked to Dana from Birthcraft, who reached out to teach Nick how to do some pregnancy massage. So, but to be honest, I don't really have that many questions. Like I try to like think of pregnancy and birth as like quite a natural, straightforward process. And it, then I always realize like if something goes wrong, I'll learn then. Like somebody can tell me then. Like I don't want to go in too educated and then be stressed out.
And so in preparation for a home birth, were you thinking like you might want to have a water birth? Like did you look into birth pools or anything like that for at home? What were your sort of thoughts there?
Yeah, I really wanted a water birth. I thought that looked like the most calming and relaxing. So we looked into water, we like looked into hiring birth pools, but then I was like, I don't want to hire a birth pool for like $300 and then something happened. Because you know, like when you're doing a home birth, everything has to go perfectly for you to execute it at home. The moment there's like one little niggle, you have to go to the hospital. So I was like, I don't really want to spend $300 me just like worry about that. I don't want to spend $300 and then something go wrong and us not be able to birth there. So then I ended up just like talking to my midwife. I was like, can I just buy a paddling pool from like Bunnings? And she was like, oh my God. She was like, you can, but like you have to be careful about like how warm it is. And I was like, yeah, that's fine. Like we'll just do that. So then, Nick just went to Mitre 10 and like bought like a paddling pool. It was like a big pool. It was like handier. And then we set it up downstairs. And I had fairy lights and it was so beautiful. And Nick like set it up and filled it up like I think maybe when I was like 37 weeks. And I like got in it and we just like had like a little bit of like a play around in it, like just like getting into the space and like I was like explaining what positions I wanted to be in. But then we didn't even end up getting to use it, which was really upsetting.
And was, before we get into that, was Nick on board with a home birth? Like did you have to talk him around or was he happy to do a home birth from the start?
He was all into it. He like loved it from the beginning when I was set up. He was like, yes, of course. Which obviously makes a big, like, big change. I don't know if I would have executed it or really pushed for it if Nick didn't feel confident. You know, like you're looking at them like so much during that. Like I just wanted him to be on board with whatever we did. And he was. He loved the idea of it. He loved setting it up. He felt so useful. I think that was something that we definitely struggled with during the pregnancy is like giving Nick's jobs, like he was like, I need tasks, like I need stuff to do, I feel so left out right now, you're doing all the mahi and all I can do is like clean the house 100 times and make dinner, and he was just like, I'm bored. So when it was like time to set the pool up, he was like, yep, don't worry Cass, you stay here, I'm just gonna go sort that. And he like loved doing it and setting up the fairy lights, which was really cool for him to feel real involved.
Amazing. And were you working at the time, like did you have to go on parental leave or anything at the end of your pregnancy, or what did that look like for you?
We chose for me to work part-time throughout my whole pregnancy because I had just started a full-time job at a marketing agency, but it was just, we really wanted it to be like a calm first pregnancy, because we kind of talked about it and we want more than one kid, and like, I'll never get to do my first pregnancy again. Like, it's might as well make it as calm and relaxed as possible, so that I end up having like a real good mindset around pregnancy and everything. So I worked part-time my whole pregnancy, which I think definitely contributed to me loving being pregnant, because if I was tired, I just got to nap during the middle of the day, or I'd sleep in, or, you know, like, it wasn't super hard on my body. So then I think I went on, parental leave at like 37 weeks, I think.
Nice. Cool. Yeah. Awesome. And were you doing anything to like prepare for birth around like raspberry leaf tea or dates or antenatal expressing, like all of the stuff that you can find? Were you doing any of that?
Yeah, I did the tea. I drank heaps of tea, probably like two or three cups a day. Lots of dates. Like, I made like these stuffed dates. You know those ones on TikTok where they're like peanut butter?
Yum. Yeah.
So good. Like, I put like peanut butter, cranberries, and cacao nibs inside the dates and then coated them in chocolate. Yeah. So they were so fun. And also, Nick had so many. And I was like, your cervix doesn't need to be softened.
Get away from my cervix saviors, Nick.
Exactly. I was just like, you do not need a soft cervix. Give me those dates. But those are so yum. So I enjoyed doing that. And then lots of, I like stayed real active in that third trimester. Like, during my second and my first, I was real chill and like didn't really move much. Like, but in my third, I really got up for it and was going on lots of walks and like using the stairs and everything like that. So I think that that definitely helped.
Yeah, amazing. And take us through those final few weeks of pregnancy. How were you feeling? Where were you at from a mindset perspective? And yeah, take us through it.
I was so excited. Like, I wasn't scared at all. I was really lucky. I grew up and my mum used to always talk about childbirth like it was the easiest, most natural thing she ever did. Like, and everybody would say that about my mum. Everybody would be like, oh, she was born to make babies. She's like a baby machine. Like, she would breathe through pregnancy, breathe through childbirth. Like, that was just her thing. And so, like, growing up hearing that consistently, I think was really helpful. So, like, I never was really that scared of it. Like, I was just really excited to obviously meet my baby. It got, like, it's real weird, though, in those, like, last weeks on your first, like, pregnancy, you, like, there's so many false starts. I feel like we had so many false starts because of Braxton Hicks. Like, I was like, like, I think we're starting, and then it would be like, not it. And then I'd be like, a couple of days later, I'd be like, no, I think this is it. And then like, not it. Like, which it can be so disheartening, because like, towards the end, I was just getting so over, because you just, you're stuck in this limbo. You can't, you don't really can't make plans with anybody. But then sitting at home makes you feel like miserable, because you're just like bored. And then going out, you're tired, and then you don't want to go too far because you are just like super hyper aware of like what could happen. And then I feel like me and Nick just spent so much money because we were like, should we go do something? Like, should we go for lunch? Or like, let's go like try do something. And yeah, I got pretty over it towards the end. And then Nick ended up booking me this pregnancy massage at this pregnancy spa, which is so nice. And he was like, she wants this baby out ASAP. Like, do whatever you can do to like push.
Do
this
your
baby
magic.
Out. Yeah. And then the lady was like, oh, I know exactly what I'll do. So she had like, what's that? Essential oil smell, like all of the things, and like, gave me this magic massage. And then I came back from that massage and I felt like I was ready. Like, I really felt like I was like, something's changed in me. Like, I feel like I'm ready to go into labor. And then I went into labor that night. The contraction started. I thought, can you write down the time of these contractions? And Nick's like, yeah, do you think it's it? And I was like, I don't know. I'm not going to like say that it's it, but I think maybe. And then, yeah, by the morning, I was like, yeah, I think we're a little bit on here.
Yeah. Amazing. And was everything still tracking okay for your home birth in terms of your pregnancy?
Oh, yeah. So that's the thing. So like, it was like a week. Yes. I always forget this part now. but like a week before I gave birth, little Nug like stopped moving, and like my midwife had just given me this massive speech about reduced fetal movement and how important it is. So like, for an entire day, he just like wasn't really moving, and I was like weird. So I called her and she's like, we have to go straight to the hospital. Went to the hospital, they checked him, he was still like, heartbeat's all good, everything's all good, but he wasn't moving. And they were like, we take that really seriously because like they can't communicate with us any other way other than with them moving. And he had been so ridiculously active my whole pregnancy. Like, he was really, like, he was playing karate in there. Like, he had just had way too much space. Like, I was like, what are you doing? So So it was real noticeable. And then they were like, if it happens again tomorrow, come back in. So it happened again the next day, went back in. Then at that point, like even on the scan, he wasn't moving. So they were like, look, this is getting pretty serious. Like, we have to start talking about inducing you. Like, you'll need to stay in hospital. And I was like, absolutely not. Like, I was like, please don't. I was like, if I have to stay in hospital for the next 3 days and then I get induced, like, and then that induction could take another, like, 2 days. Mm. Like, that's almost a week of me just feeling miserable. And this is, like, it's not, there's really no point. Like, we live real close to the hospital. I felt intuitively that he was fine. Like, you know, like, I was like, there's nothing wrong with him. I don't think that there's anything wrong with him. And they're like, yeah, we don't really go off you thinking that. And I was like, well, you did. Like, and then, so then I, like, my midwife really advocated for me to be able to sleep at home, which was such a game changer. So we got to go home and sleep, and then we came back in every day for the next, like, 2 or 3 days for them to just check and monitor him.
Yeah.
And then on the third day, we saw another doctor, and he scanned him, and then he saw his position was, like, facing in my placenta. Like, he was facing, he was head down, feet up, facing inwards, and so all of his movements were being, like, taken on by my placenta, impacted there. So that's why I wasn't feeling them. And I was like, see, that makes so much sense. Like, that's exactly what I said. And he was like, yeah, so you don't need to be induced. Like, we're happy for you to try to go into spontaneous labor. But if you get to, like, 40, then we might start having to talk about an induction again. And I was like, okay, sweet as, all good. And then I think it was like 2 days, 2 or 3 days later, I went into labor. But over that time, my midwife was like, yeah, you can't have a home birth because of this. And I was like, oh, pretty upset. Because I was so excited for it. And also, like, we'd had a real cruisy pregnancy. So, like, like throughout the whole pregnancy, you're getting more and more confident that you're going to get this home birth. And then I got to 37 weeks. And then I was like, oh, perfect. Like, we're in the clear, like, let's go. And so for that last, literally, the reduced fetal movement in the last week to kind of take that away was pretty disheartening. But I also was like, I don't want it to ruin my experience. Like, I was still allowed to have a water birth. So I was like, well, then that's still, like, half of the thing. The main thing that I wanted was a home birth and a water birth. If I can still have my water birth, then that's all good. So yeah, that was, like, a little bit disheartening, but I also, by that point, I was just so keen to meet him. Like, I just was like, oh, I just don't care. Like,
And so how did you, or, like, what did you do from a mindset perspective? Like, knowing that you could still have a water birth, was there anything else that you planned to do in the hospital for your labor? Like, did you, were you allowed to labor at home for the most part? Like, what did that change look like?
Yeah, so they said that I was allowed to labor at home for as long as I possibly could. And I was like, perfect, sweet. That's what I want to do. I just want to make sure that I'm laboring to the absolute maximum at home. And going in at the last minute, because we live so close. And they're like, yeah, you can do that. That's fine. So I was like, sweet, I'll do that. So, yeah, I just labored the whole morning at home and kept it really calm. And I think that made such a difference to my mindset. Because, like, by the time we got to the hospital, I was so calm, and I felt like I had executed lots of my home birth plans anyway.
For sure. Amazing. Okay, so let's get into it. Your labor starts after your pregnancy massage. Talk us through the contraction starting, and then into your labor and birth story. I'm excited.
It was so good. So so I woke up that morning after my pregnancy massage, and the contractions had happened, like, probably once an hour while I slept. Like, I woke up, like, five times, and I slept for, like, 5 hours. So I was like, oh, like, I think we're a bit on here. And then I was like to Nick, I was like, we should go out for breakfast, because I remember, like, watching this TikTok of this woman saying, like, make sure that your partner eats during, like, the day that you go into labor, because you won't feel like eating, but they won't eat because you're not eating, and they're, like, focused on you. And I was like, oh my god, that will so be Nick. So I wanted to, like, just slow everything down. I didn't want it to feel like we were waiting, you know, that we were, like, standing around kind of thing. So we went out for breakfast to our favorite cafe down in Devonport. And it was so nice. I, like, barely ate. I had, like, a bite of my sandwich, but I was, like, just excited to, like, be a part of it. And then it kind of just talked about, like, what it was going to be like and how different it was going to be. And, like, you know, kind of celebrated the last date, I guess, we had before he arrived. And then I got home, and then they were getting closer together, and I sent Nick for a run with our dog Romeo, because I was, like, he needs a run, you need a run, like, let's just chill out and stuff. And that did not want to go. He was like, I don't feel like I should go. And I was like, I don't think they're gonna come, like, right now, like, they're still pretty far apart. So he went for, like, the world's quickest run. I think he was, like, only, like, 15 minutes. And I was like, I don't know if that counts, no. And then we just labored at home for ages, bounced on my ball. I stayed real active. Like, I was walking up and down the stairs, doing laps of the house. Like, anytime I wasn't, like, having a full-on contraction, I was, like, walking around. Because that was, like, something that I really wanted to do, was just stay as active as possible and kind of, like, let gravity do its thing.
Yeah.
And then I like wanted to wait because I was getting like the get fed meals delivered for like our postpartum period, and they were meant to be getting delivered that day. So I was like holding out for them to be delivered because I didn't want them being left out because it was food. And Nick's like, we are not waiting for that. Like, we need to start like going to the hospital. And I was like, okay. But then they arrived literally like 10 minutes before we left for the hospital. So I was like, how good? And then like by the time we left, my contractions were maybe like 3 or 4 every 10 minutes. Yeah. And like they were getting pretty intense. And Nick was like, okay, we are going. And lucky we did, because I think on the way to the hospital, I had probably like 3 or 4 again. And then we get to the hospital. Nick's like in full like airport dad mode. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's like getting the bags. Like, he's so focused. And then he like gets me a wheelchair, and I was like, oh my god, no, I cannot go on the wheelchair, because like you feel so embarrassed because you just look so dramatic, like with your giant belly and like your contractions. And I was like, no, like, this is so embarrassing. He's like, sit down, like, there's no way you're gonna be able to walk all the way to like the room, like, be real. So got my little wheelchair, like having contractions on the way in, and then we get in, and our midwife was stuck in traffic, so we like got in, and Nick was straight away to the people. They were like, he was like, can you fill up the bath now? And they were like, yep, okay, fill up the bath. I like set up, Nick sets me up like a little corner in the room for me to just like labor on the floor. Like, I didn't really want to be laboring on a bed that I can't really move around on, you know, like it's such a small surface area. So he just like got me an exercise ball, and there was like mattresses on the floor. So I just like labored on the floor. Like, took all my clothes off. Like, I'm such a naked person. Like, I hate wearing clothes. I was wearing like a bikini top and nothing else, because I was just like, you just feel like you just hate. I feel like it's such an intense sensory experience. Hey, because like your whole body is like feeling it. So I was like, get everything off me. I hate clothes. And then we're like there, and I was like making a real effort to make sure that anytime I was contracting, I was like on my knees, like leaning up against the ball, so that the gravity was like doing its thing. And then I had the TENS machine on, which was doing such a great job. And then my midwife got there and checked me, and I was only 3 centimeters dilated. Which was like the worst thing. And like that made me super happy for the Your Birth Project, because I remember that being such a big thing that stuck out to me. You said, like, that doesn't actually matter. Like, there's no actual telling. Like, they have their own little thing to go off, but it's your body and it's your birth. So you can't listen to that. And, like, even though, like, I knew that, it's still so disheartening, because you're just like, And, like, I was in so much pain. And then she was like, so you're not actually in active labor. Like, we would have come this is active labor. We would usually send you home. And I was like, get out. Like, how the fuck? What do you mean? And I was like, got real disheartened. And then the moment, and she was like, if it makes you feel better, like, I had a woman like this that was like this for 2 days. And I was like, in what world?
No.
I was like, are you new to this? Like, why would you say that?
Oh my god.
But then Nick was real good, because the moment she left, Nick was like, she doesn't know shit. Like, you're like, this is your birth, like, this is your body, like, you're in active labor, Cass. Like, you can't listen to her. Like, look at you. Like, your contractions could not be getting any closer. Like, that doesn't mean anything. Like, honestly, like, don't listen to her. Like, he just, like, gassed me up heaps. And then he was like, oh my god, Cass, 3 centimeters is heaps. Like, you've done so well. And I was like, shut up. Like, you're the worst. But then she was,
hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It was like, also when she checked me, she was like, your water hasn't gone. So you're still, like, your water's still there. Like, so you're still a while off. Do you want some like codeine and some sleeping pills so that you can go to sleep? And I was like, yes, get me out of here. Like, this is ridiculous. Because like at this point in my head, I'm so confused. Because like the whole way up until that point, everything was running the way that I had kind of thought it would run. And where I was at with my pain and my contractions, I was like, I'm surely close to having this baby. Like, there's no way that this could get any more intense. Like, I don't understand this. Like, my body isn't telling me that we're 7 hours off. Like, that doesn't make any sense. So I was getting real disheartened. And I was like, am I about to ask for an epidural right now? Because, like, I don't know if I can handle this for much longer. Like, this is wild. Like, if this is meant to be 7 more hours, like, what do you mean? Like, it was just a real confusing time, and I was like running through everything, and like, I'd never been like, I'll never get an epidural, but it just wasn't really what I thought was going to happen. Like, and everything was going the way that I thought would happen, and then her saying it's 7 more hours, that really, like, it just messed with my head so much. Yeah. So I took the codeine and the sleeping pill, and then I was like, oh, I need to pee. So I went to go pee, and that's when my waters broke. And that was, like, the most dramatic thing ever in the whole entire world, like, where your waters break into the toilet.
Yeah.
It sounded so hectic, like, and I was so scared. I was like to Nick, I was like, oh, my God, what was that? And Nick's like, it's not the baby. Like, what are you doing? And I was like, oh, okay. Like, and then my midwife was like, it's just your waters. Like, don't worry. And then they checked the waters for, like, meconium or whatever. They checked for it, hey, to see that it's not, like, got the poo in it. And then they were like, it's okay, like, that's a really good thing. And I was like, oh, cool. And then, like, after my waters broke, like, things just stopped, like, really hurting. Like, it was real random. Like, it was a completely, like, the whole experience of the contractions was so different to before it. And I was thinking about this actually today. I was like, maybe that's why they were hurting so much, is obviously was more because my water was there, not because it was just the baby. It was like the weight of all the water.
Because
it was like wild. And then I went back to my little labor spot, and then I think there was like heaps of blood or something. And then, like, there started being quite a bit of blood, and they're like, oh, that's like a really good thing. And I was like, okay. And then I was like, oh, I need a poo. And she was like, no, you don't. I was like, no, I just really need to go poo. And she was like, no, you do not. Like, you need to, like, she was like, that might be your baby, we need to check. She was like, if that is, like, that's a really fast progression, like, it would be a new record. Yeah. And Nick's like, Cass always sets records. Like, she's just like, so supportive. It was so cute. And then she, like, checked me, and she's like, yep, your baby's head is right there. Like, that you definitely, that's like a pushing sensation.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay. And then Nick's like, okay, can you get the bath ready? Like, that needs to get sorted. And she's like, oh, yeah, okay, we'll go make sure that the temperature's right. Which is, like, so good looking back on it, because if I had gotten checked before Nick had made them fill up the bath, they wouldn't have filled it up.
Yeah.
They would have been like, no, she's only 3 centimeters. And then there's no way I would have been able to make it for my water birth, because I needed to push, like, then. Like, it was such an intense urge. But they were like, don't push, just wait until you get in the bath. And I was like, okay. So they went and, like, sorted that, and that maybe took like 5-10 minutes. And then I just, like, walked over, jumped in the, like, took the TENS machine off, jumped in the bath, and then everything was so smooth sailing once I was in the bath. I was, like, on all fours pushed, and all, like, almost got his head crowning, but then was, like, tried again, just couldn't do it. And then we had talked about Nick being as, like, involved as possible, so he was, like, checking Nugget's heartbeat in between contractions and everything. And then we had talked about how if Nick got into the bath with me and he was behind me, then I could, like, have my legs up on the side of the bath and, like, use him to, like, push against.
Yeah.
Because the midwife said that that worked really well for another mother that she had done. And then so we were like, okay, we'll do that. So Nick just jumped straight in. And the moment he was behind me, he, like, I pushed him out within like one or two pushes. Mm-hmm. And then we both like pulled him out of me and like put him up on our chest, and it was like really cool and beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. Yeah, yeah. And do you remember like the actual fear? Like people talk about the ring of fire.
Yeah.
Do you remember that sensation or like that actual feeling of him being born?
No, like I don't remember that at all. I think maybe because of the codeine. I don't really know. Maybe it was the codeine and the sleeping pill. But or like the fact that I was just like in the zone. But I don't really remember the ring of fire. Yeah. Like I honestly, I think the pushing part was so easy. It didn't hurt for me at all. So yeah. I don't know if that was the raspberry leaf tea doing its thing or the codeine or like the water birth. Like the moment I got in the water, I remembered like my whole body felt so relaxed. It was such a intense pain relief, I think. Like I wasn't, you don't expect water to be as useful as it was. But I think because that part of it was so concentrated, like it was, I think I was only in the bath for like 15 minutes and he was out. Mm. So it felt really like, oh, water sensation, feeling calm, feeling relaxed, then he's out. So I didn't feel the ring of fire. I was expecting to, but that bit was so quick. And I think it was obviously being in water, it felt just super easy. Like it felt real natural and my body just felt real jelly, I think.
Yeah, amazing. And did they pass him, like did you and Nick sort of bring him up to your chest or, talk us through the next little while.
Yeah, so me and Nick both got to like pull him out. So because Nick was behind me, so he reached over me and I grabbed him and we both just pulled him out onto my chest. And then he just like, he cried pretty straight away and he had the cutest little cone head because he had been like sat in my pelvis for like 3 weeks. He was like literally such a cone, but he was so cute. And he was real clean because he obviously a water birth. And I was like, is he meant to be this clean? Isn't he meant to? Because I thought that stuff that's on them is like really important. So I was like, where's his stuff? Like,
awesome. And did you birth a placenta in the pool or did you get out and do that?
They were trying to get me to. They were like, okay, like, can you, like, do you feel like that's pushing, like, can you push out your placenta? And I remember being like, because you're so frantic, I, like, pushed. And I was like, I didn't push it out, I just weed. And she was like, okay, you can, like, get out of the pool. And I was like, sorry, Nick. And Nick's like, I really couldn't care less right now. Like, there's, like, other things going on. Like, okay, so then we walked back over and then I think Nugget was on me for a little bit, and then when I was like push, then they had to give me an injection to get the placenta out, and she was like, okay, we have to give you an injection. And I was like, is it gonna hurt? Like, real worried. Like, you just feel, I feel like you feel so sensitive after you give birth. You're just like,
God,
no more, like, no more hurting. And then so she gave me the injection, and I just like, then I managed to birth it, and then I just like chilled out for a bit. And then we got into latch, but like my nipples were just not, they were like recreation only. They were not like, because I've got inverted nipples. So they like weren't producing anything. They weren't looking different. So he was latching, but nothing was really coming out. And then we waited for my actual midwife to arrive because the midwife that we had was her colleague.
Yeah.
So then Mel arrived and she stitched me up and we were like bantering away. And then I got to go home like for 4 hours after they're born. So yeah, we just stayed for 4 hours and then we got to go home.
Yeah, amazing. That is so cool. And how are you feeling? Like, obviously you've come to the hospital to give birth and like you're leaving so soon after with your baby. That's so crazy. So how are you feeling taking him home? And yeah, talk us through the next 24 hours.
I was so excited to take him home. Like, we were really lucky because, like, Nick's mum, my mother-in-law, she's a nurse at the birthing centre in Bethlehem. Cool. So she's, like, a veteran. Like, she's so good. And she's obviously had 4 babies. Like, Nuggets is her 9th grandchild. So she's so onto it when it comes to babies. So we felt real confident because she was with us.
Yeah.
So she was great. And, like, Nick was really supportive. So we went home. They let us go home even though he wasn't latching because I'd said from the beginning because of my inverted nipples, and I've been told so many times by so many people that like breastfeeding's like impossible and a real nightmare if you have inverted nipples, which is so annoying, like to know, like to have everybody else kind of taint your experience before it even happens was like kind of upsetting. But I also was like, I don't want, if it doesn't work out, I don't want to like really grieve and mourn it. Like if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. Formula's amazing. I obviously think there's such a beauty and power in breast milk, but I'm also not, I wouldn't let that upset me and make me feel not good enough, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
So I had already said, because that, like, my nipples were so inverted, that I was happy to breast formula feed him over the night until my milk came in.
Yeah.
So that was really handy. So we went home, and then you're just like, you've got so much adrenaline just like pumping through your body. I was like, just couldn't even sit still. Just wanted to hold him all the time. Then we'd like put him down to sleep in his little co-sleeper next to us, and I just kept on checking him, like would not stop checking him. And then Nick was like, you need to sleep, like this is like not beneficial. I'll sleep with him downstairs and you just get a full night's sleep just so you can actually rest. And I was like, you sure? And he was like, yeah, I think that's a good idea. So then he went downstairs and I had like a full night's sleep, which was so good. And I think nice for Nick as well. Like, I already felt super bonded to him. Like, I know some people feel like they have to have them on them. I just was like pretty chill about it. Like, I knew that it would be cool for Nick as well to have him.
Yeah.
So Nick had him for that first night. And then in the morning I woke up and I was shocked at how much pain I was in. I was like, what is going on? I think you just like, you don't think about it at all. Like, logically it makes a lot of sense, but I personally didn't think about it. And I woke up and I felt like I'd been like hit by a bus.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is this? This is such a wild feeling. And then Nick, then I like managed to like waddle downstairs in so much pain because we've got stupid stairs. And I woke Nick up and I was like, I'm in so much pain. And he was like, oh, okay. And then he went and got his mum to come and like watch Nugget while he slept. And then Nick just like showered me and just like helped me get dressed and everything. And then I just sat up on the couch for like the next 3 days, just having everything brought to me. Like, as like Nick's mum and Nick just kept on bringing me little Nugget, and like they'd bring me food and everything like that. So I was really lucky in the way that I was able to recover, because I just stayed in one spot the whole time and everybody else did everything else, which was so nice.
Yeah, amazing. That is how it should be.
Yeah, exactly. I was just like, what? But it's so, I feel like it does kind of play on your mental like load, because you feel like you should be this mum, you know, like you've just given birth and you feel like you should be this mum. And like, I didn't even change a nappy for the first 3 days because I couldn't stand up for that long.
And were you doing anything that, like, apart from the obvious rest, was there anything else that you found helpful? Like, I know some people use like frozen pads or different sprays and stuff like that. Was there anything that you were using in the initial postpartum period?
Yes, I got the Viva La Vulva set.
Oh, nice.
The Terry bottle and the Padsicle gel and the Pinereal spray and the Witch Hazel drops. So nice. I had Padsicles that I had made like before I went into labor, and then I also had like all the spray and everything like that. And that was, I think that was so nice, like doing that a couple times a day to like refresh and kind of like just have a real moment of like self-care and self-love in that. And like I healed so quickly. Like I was like, my stitches healed really quickly. Like my midwife was really happy with how everything went by. Like I think it was probably like 2 weeks postpartum I started feeling real together, if that makes sense, you know, like like, well and stuff. I think I was like we went for our first walk, like just like a real tiny walk around the neighborhood, just because I like I needed to be outside at like 6 or 7 days postpartum. And that was like nice, just like for my mental health and everything like that. And then like my recovery was pretty quick in that sense. But having those little things, that's one thing that I definitely recommend to new mums now, is like buying those products and having those things ready so that you just have something that's all for you.
I definitely agree with that. Awesome. And what about your feeding journey? So obviously you said like maybe it was going to be challenging and you weren't sure how it was going to go, so talk us through how you went with feeding.
Yeah, so we got him to, like, latch every day, but there was nothing coming out, like, literally nothing. And because also he was being formula fed, he didn't have, like, a big drive to really suck or really latch or anything like that. So there was obviously that playing into it. And then we got to, like, 4 days postpartum, and my midwife came over and we talked about it, and I, like, showed her my boobs, and she was like, okay, like, I think maybe, like, come to terms with the fact that maybe your milk might not come in, like your nipples are really inverted, so it'll be hard for them to be feeling stimulated enough to produce milk, and like it doesn't matter, like, you know, like she was just like, just prepare for that as something that might happen. Yeah. And then I like started getting real upset over it, because obviously, like, I was like, I just wanted to do it, like I really wanted to breastfeed. I just wanted, like, you know, it's like it's a new experience, something that you've never done before. I really wanted to. So then, like, after she said that, I was like real determined and started just like milking myself like a cow for an entire day. Like, I just pumped for so long that day, and it hurt. Obviously, it hurt so much. And Spritik was like, I feel like, do you reckon? Well, obviously, I don't know, because I obviously Nugget didn't feed to get my milk started, but I don't know, I feel like expressing was just like so, or probably just more real painful because they were inverted, so I had to literally like pull them all the way out for them to like function. Anyway, so I did that, and then the next day I woke up and my milk had come in, my boobs were like massively engorged. I was like, yeah, stoked. And then it was just about like getting him to latch, and we got him to latch with nipple shields. He was started latching, but then he was only latching on one of my boobs. So then I was like real happy that that was happening, but then it was like trying to balance making sure that he was latching, but then also like I wasn't trying to make it a stressful thing, so he was still formula feeding. And then we ended up getting a lactation consultant in, and she was amazing, but then she showed me that other position of breastfeeding where you've got them like on your lap pretty much and they're sat upright. And then so then I was trying to do that, and then she was like, yeah, and you need to be like feeding him during the night or pumping during the night to like keep your milk supply going. And I was like, okay. So then I'm like trying all this stuff, struggling to get him to latch during the night, and like literally just could not pump during the night. I was so tired when I was waking. And like also I just wanted to be with him like for those night feeds. Like I don't want to be like getting Nick up to feed him and then me pumping, or like me feeding him, putting him down, and then me pumping. Like I just didn't have the energy for it, and I was hating pumping anyways. So then like tried for a bit, and we could like breastfeed him a decent amount in those first couple of weeks, and then it just started getting like my milk started going, like supply started going down because I wasn't feeding during the night. I started just like overthinking the whole thing and getting like real upset. And it was like just it started like the moment it started taking away from my experience of like just being there with him and enjoying the like newborn bliss, I was like, nah, I'm calling it, like we're just gonna stop. I'm not gonna pump enough to I'm not just gonna become like an exclusively pumping mum, because I just feel like it took way too much time. I didn't like my hands-free pumps that we got. And I just like wanted him on me, you know, like if this has all worked perfectly and I'd been able to like he could latch consistently, then this would be different, but that's not really what's happening right now. And I wanted to make the call to like my number one priority was to enjoy the newborn stage with him. So we ended up making the call, and like I think also like a big part of it is the fact that I know that we want to have more kids, and I know now that I know that I can breastfeed, and that everybody, even though everybody told me that like inverted nipples you just can't, like now that I know that I can, the next time will be so different.
You have more confidence and just know that like things are different for each and every person.
Yeah, exactly. And I think next time I'll definitely like express way more before I go into labor so that my nipples are already out. Because I think that's, looking back on it, if I had just really hard out committed to expressing before I went into labor, it probably would have been a completely different experience. But expressing before you go into labor and before you have a baby in your hands is the weirdest thing. Like, it's so
I know weird. It feels so weird to like touch your own boobs in that way. You're like, what am I doing?
Literally, it felt so weird, and I felt so weird doing it. But now looking, like now knowing with the next one that's all I needed to do to have a way cruisier breastfeeding journey, I know that I'll just do that with the next one.
Awesome. Cool. And obviously I know that you are in Melbourne.
Yes.
So talk us through the decision to move there with a newborn. What has that been like?
It's actually been so fun. I kind of love it because we moved when Nugget was 3 weeks old. And I, like, it was pretty easy, like, on the flight and stuff, they just sleep so much. And, like, I used to be a flight attendant, so, like, being in an airport and being on a plane is not, like, doesn't spike my stress responses. So, I was really chill, so he was really chill. Yeah. So that was nice and easy. And then, yeah, so we've moved for Nick's job. He got his dream job, which has been so cool. Mm-hmm. And we live in this, like, tiny little apartment in Melbourne City. And it's so fun. I think I kind of like it because, like, when you're a new mum, everything is different. Like, nothing feels mm-hmm. the same anyways. Like, you can't just, like, up and go out like you could before, or you can't, you know, like, even, like, walk around your house like you could. Like, we back in Auckland, we had this ridiculously, just, like, lots of stairs and lots of rooms, and it was just so hard to clean and so hard to manage and so hard to be at home with a newborn in because there was just too much space, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm kind of loving just being in a whole new chapter and, like, enjoying him and not having to share him at all. Like, I don't have to go see anybody. We've got no lunches to be there. Like, I feel like these first couple of weeks of it just being me and him in this little apartment have been so fun because I really feel like I've gotten to know him. And I've had nothing else to focus on, nothing else to worry about, which has been, like, such a blessing for, like, a newborn journey. And I think, like, we're looking at moving out of the city, but also, like, I'm kind of just enjoying this because I know it's a chapter. Like, it's so small. Yeah. And, like, once he's, like, big enough to be walking, we're obviously not going to want to be in an apartment, and then we'll never be able to be really apartment people again, you know? Like, we'll probably have more kids, and we'll never have the option to live in, like, a tiny little studio apartment and just be us. So it's kind of like, it's such a cool little chapter for our family, and I know that we'll look back on it and be like, oh my god, how random was that?
I love that. And what about, like, from a mental health perspective? And, like, it can be quite isolating sometimes having a new baby and, like, being on your own, or, like, not having you know, the village that you'd probably be used to in New Zealand. So how have you found your mental health with the move and just adjusting to mum life in general?
Yeah, I think I'm surprisingly good. Like, I was prepared for it to be whatever it was, and me and my midwife is a lot about postpartum depression and anxiety because I have a history with both of those things. So she was like, it is more likely to be a parent and, you know, people that have experienced it in the past.
Yeah.
So she was like, so, like, what are we doing? How are we dealing with that? And so I was ready for it to be whatever it was. And so I was really surprised that it was, I haven't really felt like that. Like, I think I did the first couple of days. I definitely felt that big hormone drop straight after, like, in those first couple of days postpartum. This, like, really, like, just a weird feeling of, like, emptiness. And, like, I think sometimes you feel like you should love them more than you do, or that you should feel a certain way or anything like that. But I think I didn't feel like all these, I didn't feel this massive, like, surge of, like, I was born to be a mother and I feel super connected to him. Like, I just felt like, this is cool right now. Like, he's cool right now. I like hanging out with him. And it has just grown. And I think that has been the biggest thing, especially with Melbourne. Like, I take it, like, one day at a time because I know it's just one day at a time. Like, I know that if I turn around tomorrow and was like to Nick, I want to move home, and I'm not happy, he would be like, okay, well, we'll move home. Like, it's not a big deal. And I think having that security of knowing that nothing is permanent, like, everything is so fluid right now, I think has made me kind of enjoy it and not really feel like I'm missing out on anything as much. And also, like, lucky with, like, technology, I call Nick's mum, like, every day, like, just being like, so he's looking a little bit different today, like, FaceTime for, like, half an hour or something, or I'll call my cousins, or so I just, like, make more of an effort to reach out and connect. But I also think, like, my whole pregnancy, I was out so much. Like, I, like, there was PR events, and I, like, threw a charity event for my baby shower. Like, I was so social, and I networked heaps, and I was connecting heaps, and, you know, like, I was around people so much that being here and not being around anyone has actually been kind of nice, because it's been such a contrast to what I did during my pregnancy. But I also think I've been doing things like journaling and making sure, like, Nick's real good at making sure that I go for, like, a walk by myself every day, or go for a swim, or go do something by myself. So little things like that have made a real difference as well.
Amazing. And on the topic of Nick, how have you guys found, like, the adjustment to having a baby in your relationship? And, yeah, I just feel like it's such a huge change. So how have you guys navigated that?
Huge. Like, it's hard because you miss them so much. Like, you know, you're with them, obviously, because you're parenting with them. But you miss them. Like, you miss just being able to, like, like, especially like being able to just like hug them without a baby being in between you, or without having to like put the baby down, and like, what was like, especially sleeping when we first moved here was real tough. Getting Nugget real settled in his own cot, like, he, especially because like it was just obviously there's so much change for the little guy, so he was like real clingy in those first couple of days, so like transferring him from one of us into the cot was such a nightmare. So it felt like by the time we finally would get him asleep in the cot, we wouldn't want to cuddle or talk, we'd just want to go to sleep. Like, so it was hard, it was real hard because we had to rely on like other forms of intimacy, like hugging or kissing or like talking heaps during the day, like messaging him while he's at work, but then he's starting a new job, so it has been real hard. And I think for a while we were letting the hard kind of get us, like just kind of accepting that it was shit, like, but then we started being like, no, we can't keep on accepting like this, like we can do things to change. So we started making sure that we're having little date nights at home, and also like trying to get him down more like earlier, like just getting real tough, well not tough with it, but like trying the transfer even though it was probably not going to work, and then just trying again. Whereas like sometimes I feel like when you like know that they'll stay asleep on you at night, you just keep them on you for ages and transfer them when they're completely asleep, you know, like so we just started being like, no, we need to be prioritizing having time in bed together awake for a bit before like we both go to sleep. So I was doing things like that that massively helped, and we like started like making out way more, like kissing way more, like because we're like, we literally can't do this, so it's so hard to fit in intimacy postpartum, so we're like, okay, so we like kiss lots. It's so funny that we'll be like, do you want to make out, and I'll be like, I hate us, but yes, that's so
random. Oh my god, it's actually funny, I feel like we did that after our first baby too. It was like going back to like teenage stage where you're like starting from the very start of intimacy again. And it just, yeah, it's so funny.
It so is, and I feel like literally me and Nick always say that it's like being teenagers again, because we'll be like, is he asleep? Okay, I don't think he can hear us, like.
Amazing. And is there anything that, like, a piece of advice or a product or, I don't know, anything that you would tell a new mum that's listening to this podcast that, yeah, maybe a piece of advice or something that you would have wanted to know?
I think my, one of my favorite ones, I have two, like my mother-in-law, I remember she told me that, like, I know, she was like, you know your baby better than anyone else, like, trust your instincts on it. I loved that piece of advice, but I think one that's really worked for me and Nick lately is my friend told me, like, try something different, like, if it's not working, try something different, like, don't get stuck in a routine or anything like that, like, they change every single day, like so much when they're like fresh out the womb. So there's no point trying to stick to a routine or try to stick to like, oh, I settle him like this, this is what works, because it might not work tomorrow. So like be really fluid in the way that you approach it, because that makes it so much easier on your mindset. And the amount of time that me and Nick have kind of done that when we've been struggling, and then one of us has like thrown out a real weird idea that like we haven't done before, but we'll both be like, okay, well, fuck it, like, let's just give it a go, like, worst thing that can happen is it doesn't work, but right now this isn't working anyway.
Amazing, that's a great piece of advice, thank you. And thank you so much, Cass, for coming on the podcast and sharing your story with us today. I've really loved chatting with you, and I know there's so many people waiting for your episode, so I'll do my best to get it out as soon as I can.
I'm so excited. No,
super grateful.
Oh no, thank you so much for having me, this has been so fun.
Thanks for tuning into this week's episode of Kiwi Birth Tales. I hope you have enjoyed it. Cass is such a gem to speak to, so if you want to find her on social media, I'll make sure I include her TikTok and her Instagram in the show notes as well. Another reminder, if you're pregnant, make sure you go and check out Your Birth Project. It will help you to create your best birth, and I will be back with another beautiful birth story for you next week. Thanks for tuning in, and we will talk soon.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.